He had never seen anything. But Jesus saw him. What Jesus saw was not a disability, but a person. What Jesus saw was an opportunity for God to be glorified, and God's desire for health and wholeness to be made manifest. He had never seen anything, but the disciples saw him. And the disciples, perhaps like some folks, maybe some of us even now, wanted to know who messed up such that this man's blindness was the result. What iniquity led to this impairment? He had never seen anything. Jesus not only saw him, he also got close to him, near enough to spit in the dirt and make holy mud and smear it on his eyelids. And then he gave him a task, assigned him a role in his own healing. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. This happens on the Sabbath and causes a kerfuffle, as we have just heard at length. Jesus operates with the understanding that the Sabbath is about rest and restoration. The Pharisees see it differently. Jesus knows that the Sabbath is made for us, not us for the Sabbath. The Pharisees don't quite get that. The Sabbath is about rest and restoration. Not only was the man's sight restored, his place in the community was also restored, for he'd not had any standing his entire life until that time, a beggar along the side of the road, not paid much attention to, pitied at best. His place, his rightful place, is restored. After he can see, people still can't see him. They don't recognize him. He looks different to them. They disagree about whether or not he is himself. All the while he says, "It's me." Does that look like him to you? Oh, I don't know. Why don't you ask him? Well, why would he know? Well, no, ask his parents. What do they know? What do they say? They don't receive his testimony when he speaks for himself. Newly restored to the community, he's thrown out again. Jesus hears that he has been thrown out and comes to him a second time and engages him in a conversation. They enter into a relationship. For this is what believing means: relying upon someone, trusting in someone, not giving intellectual assent to a list of doctrinal points, relying on Jesus the Christ, trusting in him, following his example. 2 weeks ago, Jesus talked with Nicodemus about a different kind of birth. Last week, Jesus talked with the woman of Samaria at the well about a different kind of water. Today, he's talking with the man born blind and kind of with the Pharisees and the disciples about a different kind of sight. Fill in the blank. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now
I see.
I see. I see. I understand. I get it. I comprehend. Sight is the sense we rely on, not only to see things through our eyes, but also to communicate metaphorically. Comprehension, understanding, knowledge. In the ancient world, people understood that light came from a person's eyes. When light was shed from one's eyes, one could see, could comprehend. But what if one were blind? There was a lack of light coming from them, as well as a lack of light going into and through their eyes. They were in darkness. Jesus brings a new understanding of the light within to the man born blind, beyond the physical sense of sight. By the end of their time together, the man not only has his sight, he also has vision. Sight and vision. We often use these terms interchangeably, but we can distinguish between them, and we need both of them. It's not much use being a visionary if one cannot see the circumstances in which they currently are as well. But if one can only see the current circumstances and is unable to envision a future, that's another problem. As individuals, we need both sight and vision. It's a blessing to have both. It's possible to live without sight. But according to the prophet Joel, without vision, we perish. As congregations and communities, we need both sight and vision as well. We cannot gloss over and gainsay current realities, especially if they are uncomfortable or difficult, and only live in the future or in the past, for that matter. At the same time, we cannot focus only on current realities, no matter how dire or how good, without also having a strategic vision of the future toward which we are moving. Without movement, we are in stasis, static, stuck. If you are blessed with eyesight, take a look around. You may be able to see cracks, which we know affectionately as spalling, water stains from leaks, which we trust God we have adequately repaired now. Evidence of termites doing their thing. Once you see these, it's hard not to see them. Can't unsee them very well. But you can also see beauty in these windows, which tell us the stories of Jesus and our forebears in faith, as well as the stories of our forebears in this congregation from years gone by. In the same moment, we can see spalling and stained glass, repairs that we need to make, and beauty that endures. I see cracks, termite damage, water stains, and I see beauty, strength, endurance. This building is 103 years old this year. It's the fourth one on this site. It reminds us that our forebears in faith at St. Paul's were persistent I see those things. And I envision this space, this beautiful, historic, iconic nave, fully restored. Can you see it? Can you imagine it? Preserved for generations to come. St. Paul's is 190 years old this year. Can you imagine? Can you envision that by the bicentennial year of St. Paul's, 2032, this space, this building, fully restored, as well as the historic rectory, as well as the parish hall, we have three buildings over a century old, all of which need restoring. Amen. Can you see it? Can you imagine it? 10 years. That's not tomorrow. It'll take a minute. We've already begun the many, many, many necessary steps toward being able to fulfill that vision. In a certain sense, we need both a microscope and a telescope. With our close-up view, we see the cracks, the stains, evidence of termites. With the telescope, we see a renewed and restored St. Paul's nave and St. Paul's campus. We need both microscope and telescope. We need to see our current ministry context, not just the buildings, but the community in which we live and the people who live in it with us. We need to share it with them from up close, getting proximate as Jesus did. And we need to allow God to come into our imagining, our planning, our dreaming as we envision the work of St. Paul's yet to come. Jesus sent the man born blind, whose name we never learn, to the pool of Siloam, which means sent. He has sent us each on a particular mission in our vocation as Jesus' followers, as we grow up into the full measure of Christ, is to discern what our individual mission is. What is our part of this great work of God's total mission? And what is that? Page 855, Book of Common Prayer. What is the mission of the church? Answer. The mission of the church is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. We have been given a common mission of restoration, not only on the Sabbath, but every day, restoring relationships in the congregation and in the community, restoring these buildings for the common good. And if, as we do our best to fulfill our individual part of the bigger mission and our congregational part of our mission in this place, if we are misunderstood, perhaps misunderheard, as happened to the man formerly blind, who was able to see after a lifetime of blindness, if we, like him, find ourselves somehow put out, set aside, pushed away, Jesus will come to us again as he came to that man, reminding us to rely on him, trust in him. Dr. Caroline Lewis, who's a scholar of John's Gospel in particular and teaches New Testament at Luther Seminary in Minneapolis, tells us we should keep reading after this ninth chapter. I know it was long. That's a long gospel, a whole chapter, but keep reading to the next chapter. What happens there? Jesus, still in conversation with this man formerly blind, discloses to him first and to others I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheepfold. As David kept his sheep, so the good shepherd keeps us. Even when we can't see him, even when we can't imagine our future, we know his voice. We belong to him. We are brought into his fold and invited to journey with him and with one another day by day. Following the example of Jesus, our model in all things, we can see life beyond death. We can also envision a world set right. And we can take steps to live into it. In his company, we need not be afraid of difficulties or desperation or even dirt. For as today's gospel teaches, even plain old dirt can be turned into healing salve that restores our sight and empowers our vision to imagine our place in God's unfolding future. Amen.